So that is the conclusion of that little reflection on baptism for you to think more about in your own time. And now we move to chapter 4 of the letter of Peter. Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same intention. So they're obviously a community that's suffering a lot. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has finished with sin, so as to live for the rest of your earthly life no longer by human desires, but by the will of God. So if they can do that, he's saying, if you can live by the will of God, even when you're suffering in the flesh, the way Jesus suffered, then that demonstrates for you that sin has been conquered and that you're actually living this new life. And he goes on in verse 3 to say, you have already spent enough time in doing what the Gentiles like to do, reminding them of their past. It's not there on the overhead. You've already spent enough time in doing what the Gentiles like to do, living in licentiousness, passions, drunkenness, revels, carousing, and lawless idolatry. They're surprised that you no longer join them in the same excesses of dissipation. Can you see why they're being persecuted? It's exactly put in there. They're surprised that you're no longer joining them. You don't go to the club anymore, or this particular club. And so they're blaspheming. They're telling lies about you. But they will have to give an accounting to him who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this, here we go in verse 6, for this is the reason the gospel was proclaimed even to the dead. We've got to look at this a bit too. So that though they've been judged in the flesh as everyone is judged, they might live in the spirit as God does. What does Peter mean by saying the gospel was proclaimed even to the dead? I don't think, I mean, there's a lot of different opinions on this. It's not an easy verse to comprehend. But I don't think we have to presume that he's now got Jesus going and preaching to the dead. Those who are, you know, like dead centuries ago and down in somewhere in Sheol. I think he's talking about the reason why the gospel was proclaimed to those in the community here who've now died. Who've since died, because some of the members of the community have died. They're dead now, but they weren't dead when the gospel was proclaimed to them. They were well and truly part of the community. But they've died in the meantime, and maybe this community has the same problem that Paul's community in Thessalonica had. What's happening to the dead? He said, no. They weren't given the gospel for no reason. Peter assures his readers they shouldn't be anxious over the members of the community who have died. The gospel wasn't proclaimed to them, brackets, while they were alive. It wasn't proclaimed to them in vain, but so that they may live in the spirit as God lives. And their death, their physical death, doesn't mean they're dead. Don't worry about them. They're with God. They're in life, the life that's beyond death. Trust it, because they accepted the gospel and were baptized into the community. Now that is obviously simply a suggestion as to how to understand a text about which a lot is written. To continue on. Verse 7, the end of all things is near. You've heard that from Paul, here it is from Peter. They're assuming it won't be long. Therefore be, now this translation says, serious. It's a very poor effort, but translations are quite complex. The Greek is sophron, and don't worry about all that, but phron or phroneo or phrein are to do with the mind. So, S long O, omega, sozo means to save. So a person is literally sophron, means they're thinking healthily. They're thinking wholesomely, or in the theological sense, because sozo means to heal or to save, equally, because saving means healing. So I think it means that they are, their mind, they've got the mind of a person who's been saved. So serious doesn't mean they don't laugh, or they've always got a grim expression on their face. It means that their thinking comes from the fact that they've been saved by Jesus. So it's, again, it's the mind of Christ he's talking about. Therefore, have the mind of Christ, I'll put it, even though that's not directly in the Greek, and discipline yourselves for the sake of prayer. Above all, maintain constant love for one another. For love, we've all heard this since we were kids, love covers a multitude of sins. Well, this is where it comes from. Isn't that nice to know? It's actually from the book of Proverbs. It's chapter 10, verse 12. In the book of Proverbs, Peter himself is quoting the Proverbs, which he was quite familiar with, and here it is. But the actual expression is the one of Peter. Love covers a multitude of sins, and we know that's true. So if you've hurt someone a dozen times, and you love them once, they're in front, well in front. Because one bit of light shatters a whole lot of dark. It's not equal. So if you've hurt someone 50 times, don't despair. Love them really once, and they'll feel they're in front. Isn't that the way it works? All you married couples can nod, surely. Or priests can nod, or we all, because that's kind of how it works. Love is so important to us that it can... So we don't want to think we'll never catch up. Just love, and you'll find the other person that you've hurt will think you've more than caught up. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Now, hospitality is a big virtue in many cultures, including our own, of course. But this has got an extra bit. See, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Keep remembering the Eucharist took place in the home, so there's a bit of that there too. Welcoming people to the Eucharist is also part of it. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. It's a very practical gospel letter, isn't it? Very human, very normal. Every community could well reflect on this and see what we're doing in relation to it, because it's everyday life. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So Peter can't but break into prayer.